Amen.
Amen. Thanks, you guys. It's good to be with you. This is always a special service for me as our week builds up to the most important American holiday there is, Good Friday. No, I just can't. Now, Thanksgiving's by far my favorite holiday because it's the one holiday that they haven't completely mangled it and people don't know what it's about anymore. It's still called Thanksgiving. It's still something that involves, hey, we should appreciate what we have. We need to stop to say thank you for all the blessings that are in our lives. One of the passages of scripture that I love relative to Thanksgiving is Psalm 107. So if you have a Bible with you or a smartphone, you can turn over to Psalm 107. And in this psalm, we don't know who wrote the psalm. It's usually considered to have been a part of the psalms that were written. The psalms right before it were written when the children of Israel came out of captivity and were able to rebuild the temple. So it may fit with that era, but it could be, it applies to every area. It certainly applies to us today as well. Psalm 107. What's interesting about this psalm is, it starts out, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then you skip down to verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then over in verse 15, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then down in verse 21, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then over in verse 31, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So it's a song really that keeps repeating that refrain, keeps repeating that chorus, that the point of it is you need to say thank you. And then the verses that are in between those key verses are verses that explore different areas of life, different areas of reality to draw people to the point where they realize, in case you're going, okay, God, thanks, but what am I saying thank you for? It's hard to say thank you without saying thank you for this or thank you for that. And so the psalmist is giving a really detailed breakdown of some of the reasons why these people, in this case the children of Israel, should specifically thank God. But then it also really, I look at it and I spent the last week or so reflecting on this passage and thinking, wow, this is a great list for me to break down all of the things for which I am thankful as I come up to a Thanksgiving holiday, so that I'm not just thinking, okay, what am I thankful for, and come up with just the standard stuff. So the first section, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and the west, the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They were homeless, found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place." He's saying, we're talking about people who at one point didn't know where they belonged at all. They were wandering, they were struggling, they were trying to figure it out. But now they've found a home. Now they've found a place that's like, this is where we live. This is where we belong. Now, this wouldn't even necessarily imply that they were all going to live there forever. It certainly didn't mean at the time that it was written that none of these people ever moved anywhere else. But it was saying, I look at my life right now and I realize what it feels like to be home. I think if you can't experience that feeling of being home, it's hard to experience much of anything else. As much as we glamorize the idea of being out on the road, at the same time, home is an important concept. So I was thinking about this passage, and maybe you'll look at it differently, but I was thinking, I've had a lot of homes. I figured I've lived in 15 different places in my life. But I started going through each one of them and thinking, what am I thankful for that chicken coop that was converted into a house in Garden Grove right next to the railroad tracks? There were things about that house that I'm eternally grateful for. And then moving to Stanton, there are things about that house that I'm grateful for. Then, you know, when Ann and I got married, we lived in an apartment in Garden Grove, and I can still remember, God, what a blessing it is. That apartment will always be special because that's the first place I lived with my wife. And then we moved into a condo over at Village Walk in Santa Ana, and I remember that place, we thought it was so cool because we had a view of the pool, and I liked the fact that it was kind of noisy all around there, and so there was always something going on. It was entertaining. We actually had a garage. I could walk to church at Calvary and to work, and there's so much about that little place that was really special, but when you start having kids, that doesn't work. So we moved to a house. We bought our first house in Santa Ana. It was on Hood Street. And it was really, our house got robbed. It was really a bad area. And yet still, I have happy memories of that place. I just think nothing feels quite as nice as that thick shag carpet when you'd walk in the house, you know? Nothing felt better than to come home and go, oh good, nobody broke in today. But I have fond memories of that house. And then one after another, then that house, people felt so sorry for us after we got robbed, and we're like, now what do we do? We gotta get out of this. And some friends, people that I barely knew, said, hey, we have a house that's for sale. Why don't you go live in our house? And while it sells, and I go, I don't know how much would it cost? They said, oh, it'll be free. So I'm like, free? Okay. And she goes, you should probably go look at it and make sure it's gonna meet your needs. I'm like, okay. Yeah, so I followed her into Nellie Gale Ranch. I'm like, I think this is gonna be okay compared to Hood Street and Santa Ana. So we lived there for a while, for free, which enabled me to get out of debt. But I have great memories. My son William was just small there, and you know, I remember him climbing on our hill in our yard, falling down and getting all skinned up and going and looking at the horses. But then that house sold so fast that the guy who owned it felt bad, and he had he told the people who were buying the house in Nellie Gale, well, I'll take your house in trade. So they had a house up in Lemon Heights, and so we moved into that house altogether, you know, a couple of years without having to pay rent. And I loved that house as well. And then we bought a house in Santa Ana, and then we sold that and bought another different house in Santa Ana. Then we finally moved to Costa Mesa, and then we got a house in Huntington Beach that was, you know, just a complete dump, but it was cheap, you know, and all of these houses, that was the case. And I look at every house that we've had, and I think, I can think of amazing things that God did while we were living in that house. And there aren't any of those houses that I think, oh, that brings, I could, there are bad things that have happened in every house I've ever lived in, but there are also special things, there are also good things, good memories, and so the discipline on Thanksgiving of just going, I would challenge you, think about everywhere you've lived and think, what was it about that place that made it special? What was it about that house that God provided for you that it worked for you at that time? Now, again, you don't stay in the same place forever necessarily. Who knows? You ultimately, and you may even, Guy, when you look at the weather around the country and we're like, yeah, it's people here complain because it rains for like half an hour and then it's sunny again. But it's like there are people who God blesses while they're here and then he leads them to another place. And I I kid about that all the time and bag on those people, but at the same time, it's totally fine. Wherever you're living right now and wherever you have lived, to be able to have the perspective of, I have a place to live. Now, you might go, I'm between places to live right now. That's okay too. They were also. But you can thank God for where you once lived, and you can thank Him for where you're going to live, even if you're not crazy about the place where you are right now. Because He, every place God takes us is connected to some of His blessings that He wants to do in our lives. And so, you know, that's what I'm thinking about in this first section. So then when you get down to verse 8, he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, wonderful works to the children of men. Then in verse 9, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God and they despised the counsel of the Most High, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He rescued them from their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. When you're thinking about Thanksgiving, I wonder if you ever think about those times when you were really rebelling against God and say, I'm thankful for those times too. Now, we can pretend like life is all about as soon as you can, you need to do the right things. But that's not the way God is with us. Often, it's in our times of rebellion that He's teaching us the lessons that are going to end up forming and shaping who we become. And so in acknowledging that, the psalmist is going, you know what? Thank God even for the fact that you were rebellious, that you had your years of being completely away from God. Now, I don't wish that on anyone, but I will tell you this, I couldn't be the person that I am today, for good and bad, had I not done some really stupid things at certain times in my life. See, it's not God's heart that He just make people good. He really wants to teach people lessons and learn things. And some of that means we're gonna do some bad things and rebel against Him. And then we realize, I'm even thankful for those times. I'm even thankful for that. I think a lot of times, and I probably shouldn't say this with so many kids in here, but the truth is we put such a stress on making kids good. You need to be good, be good, be good, be good. When the truth is we all know some of the things we know we wouldn't have learned unless we were rebellious at some point, unless we were pushing back against that which we were supposed to do. Christianity is not a way of life that molds and shapes people to be robots. It's a relationship with God whereby when you go and do crazy things, when you take ridiculous chances, when you are away from Him, He's still with you. He's still working. And someday, again, you'll come to the point where you can go, you know what? I'm really thankful that that happened. Again, I wouldn't repeat it. I wouldn't say, I'm gonna get back and do the dumb things I did when I was younger. But at the same time, from my perspective of today, I'm thankful that I wasn't brainwashed into being who I am, but that I figured it out by making bad decisions and paying the price for those bad decisions, that ultimately I'm at the point where I'm at peace with the damage that I've done, even to myself and others. I don't live with a constant regret. I don't sit here and think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't done this. It's like, no. I can thank Him and go, man, with all of that rebellion, somehow You used it all. God causes all things to work together for good. It's why He can say, be thankful for everything. And that means even being thankful for the dumbest things you've ever done in your life, because those things help form and shape you into who you are. And so I think after being thankful for home. I'm also thankful for rebellion. I'm also thankful for the fact that God created people with a choice, with a will, with an ability to go off track, with an ability to make bad decisions. Because in the end, that becomes much more profoundly valuable, much more glorifying to God than if you're just like, you know, you're just not having a choice. You don't have any spunk or rebellion within you. A lot of times I think we try to limit, you know, kids when they're growing up so much that then that rebellion comes out later because they haven't been allowed to rebel earlier. Sometimes it's like we need to, you know, understand that kids are just like adults. The only way they're going to get where they're going is for God to teach them sometimes through making bad decisions. And so you can only insulate them for so long. And again, I'm not advocating, and I'm sure there are going to be people who hear me say this and they think this is just awful, but I'm just in the Psalms. He's looking and going, I'm thankful for my rebellion. And I wonder, can you be thankful for your rebellion? I am. It's hard, but you know, I can understand that. And so ultimately the answer, of course, crying out to the Lord. So then in verse 21, as he says again, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works in the children of men. Verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So be happy. Who? Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. By the way, I skipped a section of it. So in verse 15, he says it. He's broken the gates of bond, cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. So in this case, he's saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then he's using the example of what he is saying was good, was distress, was actually saying, there were times when I was so depressed. There were times when I felt, and of course, it follows the section, you know, that he's saying earlier about rebellion, but now he's going, like the results of all that, even being depressed is not something that I feel like that's going to mess me up for God. Because sometimes God meets us in those times. And sometimes when God is closest to you isn't when you feel him being there. Sometimes at some point you'll feel like God is a million miles away, and then you realize he was right there all along. He also uses when you go through a hard time, when I go through a hard time, when we battle depression, for instance, you know, who knows? For you to share, be there for someone else who's depressed, that might make your depression completely worthwhile. Because if somebody's struggling, if somebody's wondering whether they want to continue to live or not, who's gonna speak to them? Somebody who's just real peppy and positive and, hey, come on, cheer up. You've had that feeling when you're going through something hard and people just tell you, cheer up, smile. That doesn't help at all. If anything, it makes things worse. So he's like, I can even say I'm thankful for those times when I was in the dark. I'm thankful for those times when I was distressed, because I understand just like my dumb things that I did, God used, I'm also thankful for those times when I felt overwhelmed, when I felt under attack, when I felt like this is really hard. See, you, because you feel that way, that's not the reality. God's there. The times when I think you'll find God is the closest to you are the times when you don't feel him. And that's kind of the idea you have here. So then he goes on, and where I started before, he's talking about people that go down to the sea in ships, verse 23, who do business on great waters. Now he's talking about your work life. He's talking about your job. And this is, isn't this like most jobs? They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. These people who are either, you know, shipping with shipping containers on boats, transporting them, or people who are fishing for a living. They see God's wonders. He commands and raises a stormy wind. Whoa, wait. Which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro. Are you like, yeah, I remember that job. It was that way. And stagger like a drunken man and are at wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they're quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Sometimes when we're thinking of what to be thankful for, ask yourself, how did you get this far? You know, and if you're a student, you haven't really had to be out in the working world too much. Maybe you think about classes that you had that were really negative or challenging or critical, and others that were good. But for many of us, we've spent a lot of our lives working jobs, and you generally do a job because it's going to provide for you. And then if you're really blessed, you find a job that you actually enjoy and you actually like. But pretty much any job that's worth its salt is a job that's going to be like the sea. It's going to be like, whoa, you have your good days, you have your bad days. You have those times when you're not sure you're going to make it. You have those times when it's like you are just learning. You have those times when it's like, oh, this is a great day at work. So whatever your job is, as a parent or as somebody who is self-employed or somebody who is an employee or somebody who's retired or whatever, wherever you find your life, wherever it's at, or whether you're a student, understand this. There are things that you can thank God for about all of the trouble and turmoil and ups and downs and twists and turns of your working life. You do what you do because it's going to get you somewhere that you want to go. But it's not always easy. It's not always smooth. If you've had a job that it's like, wow, this is so easy every day, it's the easiest thing in the world, you're probably underemployed, because the best jobs are jobs that challenge us, that take us through struggles, that make it, you know, this is difficult, or am I gonna, I mean, if there's a real meaningful job, you should always be thinking about whether you should quit or not. I mean, and at the same time, you should always be going, but I am so thankful for even the hardest things about work, because I'm able to work. I'm actually doing something that bears some fruit. In this case, in the shipping industry, it's with the waves, it's up and down, and that's pretty much every job. And as I'm thinking about being thankful, I've thought, I started working when I was like 13, and I worked at that point in a gas station. And it's like, they took advantage of me. They didn't pay me hardly anything. They'd give me a $20 bill every once in a while or whatever. But towards the end, the owner of the gas station was trying to get out of his contract with the oil company. And so he pretty much left me, a 13, 14-year-old, to run the entire gas station. I would get home from school and I'd open the station. And, you know, yeah, he looked like he was taking advantage of me. And yet, I think of those years in that gas station, despite some of the horrible things that I did at times, what an adventure. And what experiences that still are with me today. I'm grateful for that job. What would I have done at that age? The kind of person that I was, I probably would have ended up in jail had I not been busy working in that gas station. But I learned to work on cars, learned to work on motorcycles. I learned so much about life. And some of the lessons that I learned weren't lessons that somebody would really want you to learn, but I mean, you're around the kind of people that work in gas stations. There are lessons to be learned. There are ups and downs, but wow, I am so thankful for those years. Then, as I started college, I went to work in a machine shop and always liked making things, always liked machines, machinery. The guy that owned the gas stations that I worked at had moved to Kansas, and so I'm like, what am I going to do? And I found out about this guy that had a machine shop, and he did what's called metal spinning. The basic thing, what they do is they have a flat piece of metal, you cut it into a circle, and as it spins, you form it around a mold and make primarily light reflectors, but I made everything from brass finger cymbals for belly dancers to all kinds of things. But it was like, this guy that owned the business was a Christian, and I was a brand new Christian, and he had a huge impact on me. And I told him, after a year or two, I was just a grunt work guy, but then when I told him that I think I felt God calling me into the ministry, he goes, you know what? If God's calling you into the ministry, you're always going to need a second job. So I'm going to teach you to be a machinist and to do this actual work instead of just making deliveries and cutting circles in metal. And so he trained me in a job that then paid me piecework, which allowed me to go to school at Biola, and between classes I'd come back and make some more parts on the lathe, and then I'd go back to school again. In the summer I could work all I wanted, but it was such a blessing. I learned a lot about life from guys in that machine shop. I first looked around and go, these guys are all in their 50s and 60s, guys that looked 100 to me and at the time, and I'm like, okay, I definitely know I don't want to do this the rest of my life, because it seemed kind of sad. But at the same time, God, what an experience, what an opportunity. And being around, and this guy told me from day one, he said, Dave, I want this job to be what's best for you. And he said, I want your word that if you ever find a job that's better than this one, I want you to take it. I don't want you to ever just be loyal to me and stay here for me. And years later, that just really resonated. What a kind thing for a boss to do, who he really needed somebody like me. I was good at what I was doing, and I was young and had the energy and everything. But it's like, I'm so thankful for all the lessons that I learned there at Anaheim Metal Spinning. It was amazing. I'm grateful for it. When I came to Calvary Chapel and I became a pastor there and the principal of the school and Chuck's bodyguard and all these things, it was like, that was, wow, what? I wonder how long I'll do this. Because I always just thought, I'm going to go off. When I finish seminary, I'm going to head off and pastor some little church out in the woods where I can hunt and fish and pastor, 30 people. That was like my dream. But God just kept telling me, I was teaching at Calvary, and he was just telling me, you're supposed to be here. And I'm like, right, how do you even do that? And then Pastor Chuck contacted me and asked me to come on staff, and I was praying about it. At the time, he wanted me to do a young marriage fellowship, but, then the CE director quit, and so he goes, do you want his job? I go, whatever you need, I'll do it. And what does Mike do? And he goes, well, he's in charge of all the education. I'm like, I'm not really that into Christian education, but I'll fill in. And so he said, well, just do it temporarily, and then if you don't like it, we'll get somebody else to do it, and then, you can start a young marriage group, which was what I thought I wanted to do. I did it for 25 years, and I'm so thankful for it. Now, places changed, things changed. I watched Chuck get old. I used to be so close to him, and we did Pastor's Perspective together every day for years, and that was so special. But it's also hard, frankly, to see, Chuck's dead. The church is different. It's not what it used to be. Recently I was there doing a teacher's chapel, and one of the guys there said, How does it make you feel when you were here, there were 25,000 people coming here every Sunday, and now there's just a handful of people? And I said, you know what? If I come here to 3800 South Fairview someday and it's a strip mall, that doesn't change what God did in my life at this place. This will always be special. So then I came to Pacific Hills, and that was like, I really wasn't something that I was looking to do at all. And at the time I just thought, well, I'll get this church going for a little while. And, you know, so a little while's turned into 22, 23 years or whatever now. But I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I have to serve here. I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I was able to work at Calvary Costa Mesa. There were horrible things about both jobs, for sure, at times. But at the same time, when I'm thinking of what I'm thankful for, how my life has been formed by the opportunities that God opened up to be able to work in a way that I feel like I contributed something, but so much more has been contributed to me by these jobs. And so he kind of, and I also think that for him, jobs equate to the sea. And personally, I'm so thankful that God's never made me live more than, you know, 15 miles from the ocean. There's something about the sea. It's kind of out of control. You might not want to live right on the water because, you know, storms will come and wipe you out. But, I mean, we can just take for granted that we live here in Orange County and we could be whining about how things are here. But it's like, you understand that through all of human history, all of the fortunate people lived near the ocean, lived near the water. That's what they had the common sense to know. That's where you want to live. And so to be able to work, to live, to exist in a place that's so close to the ocean. And for me, I look at the ocean and it like pitches and moves and twists and turns and it changes and it looks different every time you look at it. And I'm like, whoa, isn't that like life? Isn't that also like your working world? And so I love that he incorporates those two. So when I'm thanking God for all the jobs that I've had, I'm also thanking him for the ocean, as he talked about it there. I know it's unpredictable, but life is too. And I'm thankful for that. And so then finally he says, oh, that men, verse 31, would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, water springs into dry ground, fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it, turns a wilderness into pools of water, dry land into water springs, makes the hungry dwell there that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and plant fields and vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he doesn't let their cattle decrease. When they're diminished and brought low through oppressions, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there's no way, yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. He goes, in the end, I am thankful for all of the ups and downs. I am thankful for the fact that sometimes you're doing great for a while and then you're doing bad. Don't think that the object of life is for it always to be up here. And don't believe the lie that says it's always down here. The truth is, blessings come and go. Sometimes things are great, sometimes things aren't so great. But you can thank God that you're in the mix. You can thank him that, wow, with all the ups and downs, I realize when I'm down, I know there are ups. When I'm up, I don't get too carried away and attached to it because I know it can go down as well. I'm thankful that life is that kind of a roller coaster. I'm thankful that it's unpredictable. Life would be so boring if it was just like, okay, everybody over here who is going to be a child of God, and everything's going to be wonderful for you. And then everybody who wants to reject God, your life is going to be terrible. That's not the way God does it. If anything, he goes, you love me, I know you can take it. I know you can handle difficulty. I know you can take the challenge, and you will bring more glory to me when things aren't going well than you will when things are. But the psalmist here just says, I'm thankful for the ups and the downs. I'm thankful for the twists and the turns. Think about your life, map it out. Where are you right now? How are things going right now? Are you on an up? Great. But be thankful for the fact that you can appreciate the ups because you've had the downs. And at the same time, you cannot be obsessed with the ups because you know downs can come. It's all, we all kind of get out of here the same way and in the same state. So we're here. This life is a gift. I want to appreciate it. But what I want to do is, whether I'm on a roll right now or whether I'm like wrestling and struggling, I just want to go, God, I am so thankful. And I will submit to you, I'm convinced that at the end of life, we will look back on the downs and they will be even more precious because we'll realize that's when I became who God really wanted me to be. That's when I learned character. Barry McGuire had a song and it said, I walked a mile with pleasure. We chatted all the way, leaving me none the wiser with what she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. And he says, the frost is in the valley, the mountaintops turn gray, promised buds all wither, their blossoms fade away. But our loving Father whispers, all this comes from my hand. And blessed are you when you trust what you just don't understand. And that's true thanksgiving, that we can just look at the whole thing, whether it's our housing, whether it's our looking back at our brashness and rebellion, and looking at those times of depression, or looking at, you know, work going well, work not going well, looking at all of the ups and downs of life and going, you know what? The one constant, God is still here. And so I will thank him in all of those times. And the truth is, if I just think, okay, it's Thanksgiving, so what am I thankful for right now? I'm selling myself short because I don't even have a perspective right now. But I have a perspective if I look back and think of all the past, all the things that God did that are over now, that now there's no bias, there's no reason for me to believe that, oh, that metal spinning shop was so awesome. It doesn't exist anymore. Some of the houses that I lived in aren't even there anymore. It's easier for me to be thankful for those than the one that I'm like trying to take care of all the time, or, you know, always worried about something breaking in it or whatever. We need that perspective. And so at Thanksgiving, and by the way, he winds it up and says, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to understand God's love? Thank him for all of your homes or the times when you didn't have a home. Thank him for your stupidity and rebellion at different times that led to you learning lessons that you needed to learn. Thank him for even those times when you felt alone and depressed and you realized he was there when no one else was. He understands. Jesus came to experience that himself. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You connect with him in those times of depression. Work, good jobs, bad jobs, they're all a blessing. They all teach you something. They all give you some opportunity. And ultimately, life is a roller coaster. Get used to it. Celebrate always. Because if you can't celebrate where you are right now, celebrate how faithful God has been to bring you to this point. You might go, I don't have anything to be thankful for. You're still here. How would you even know that you don't have anything to be thankful for if God hadn't blessed you at some point in the past? So actively celebrate and thank Him. And ultimately, that's the way that, you know, giving thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men, don't come short of that. Understand, He's done so much that we should never have to think, oh, let's see, what am I thankful for this Thanksgiving? Go through these categories, and you'll be like, yeah, there's a bunch of things. There are so many blessings that have been in my life because of the Lord. And I know going forward, it's going to get better and worse. And I'm okay with that. I'm on this thing until the end. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful works to all your children. We thank you as we reflect on our lives so far, and then we look forward to what our lives are going to be, even what they are right now, but the likelihood of changes that might happen in our lives. We are in 100% with you for whatever you're doing, because we know that though you have some distress ahead of us, those will be the times that we thank you the most. And then you'll bless us incredibly to give us a break so that then we can get back to learning those things that you want us to learn. God, I thank you as this psalm was celebrating having a house to worship you. I thank you for our church, that it's not perfect and people come and go, and we always want it to be more than it is, better than it is, and yet we look at what you've done and we just realize, thinking of how far we've come and how much you've done in this church, and that for many of us, this feels like home. It does. And we don't feel it's perfect, but we feel it's home. And we thank you for this church and for all the people who are here that make it so special. And I pray that everyone who's here will, as they tomorrow celebrate how thankful they are, that they'll truly reflect on the depth and the breadth of your blessings, that it won't be hard to think of what we're thankful for. And I pray that we would so legitimately be thankful that Black Friday is meaningless for us, because we realize you've been so, so good to us. Thank you for this evening and for this time. Bless us as we celebrate tomorrow our gratefulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming.